Here we go. Okay, so step one, shatter the distortion. Step two, progress, not perfection. Now what? What's this knucklehead supposed to do next?
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Hey, Consciously family, welcome back. Okay, here we go. Last episode before Pesach. Hopefully we'll do some episodes after, God willing. I'm really, really excited, pumped up about this episode, been leading into it. In some ways, I feel like when I finished kind of writing over my outline, I was like, okay, if this is the last podcast I do, I'm really excited because it just, I don't know, it's just, it expresses a lot of the things that I think about, the way I look at these kind of things, and just it's a privilege to be able to share it with you. Thank you for joining us. We've been talking about redemption, Pesach, the Sfiras HaOmer, and now receiving of the Torah, kind of framing it and understanding how that correlates to spiritual recovery and overcoming the challenges that we face, both in our internal world and our external world, and how all of that is expressed through the spirituality of Yahadus, of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, and how that's illuminated through the prism of Chassidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah. It's just really, really exciting. Before we get there, though, calm myself down a little bit. Before we get there, I want to thank you for joining us. Do us a favor, subscribe, give us 5 stars and a review. You want to let the bots know that we matter, but more importantly, share us with your friends. The best way to build this family is to just share, you know, if you like an episode, send it to a friend, say, hey, I think you should listen to this, or don't, whatever. But get the word out there. Also, check us out on social media, The Light Revealed. More importantly, on our website, thelightrevealed.org. You can subscribe there to our newsletter, or you can do so in the episode descriptions that are below this episode in your app that you're using, if you're using an app. The newsletter has links to all the podcasts that we're doing and also to Joey's write-ups. So great stuff, really, really remarkable stuff. Just great things. Thank God. Okay. So we've been talking about kind of this three-layered process of redemption that emerges from the story, the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're about to celebrate coming up this week on Pesach, and then the journey of the Jewish people from leaving Egypt on the first day of Pesach, Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea on the seventh day of Pesach, their journey through the desert to Har Sinai, and then ultimately coming to Mount Sinai, to Har Sinai, to receive the Torah from God, which culminates on Shavuos, and how that correlates to the Avoda of this time of year, Pesach, specifically Avoda of filling ourselves with a sense of faith and trust in God's presence in our life, both in the redemption that comes along with being removed from challenges, but also in the way in which God is with us as we walk through the bitterness. We didn't talk about this so much in the series, but this is all interconnected with what we're doing. And then ultimately the Avoda of Sfiras HaOmer, the day, counting the days and the weeks, which corresponds to the stretching of self and trying to make ourselves more and more our truest self, so that we come to Shavuos, where we receive the Torah, where we receive instruction. And part of the frame that we've been talking about is that the first stage of that process, right, of emerging from a constriction of our true self that occurs because of an enslavement that we fall into to an external force, right? We fall into sometimes because of our own silliness or bad choices, right? And how there's really a three-part process. The first part of the process is identifying the distortion, right? Realizing that I am an Eved Deparo, but I shouldn't be an Eved Deparo. I'm not an Eved Deparo. That's not who I truly am, right? That I'm living beneath myself. I deserve to live differently. I'm powerless, right, over whatever addiction I found myself in. My life is unmanageable, but I'm not really powerless. There's a piece of this that highlights some of the hesitations that people have about the powerlessness principle in recovery, because it seems like if someone's identifying themselves as powerless, they're saying that that's who essentially who they are. And why would you identify your essence is powerless. But really, there's a novel subtlety in the novelty of the identification of powerlessness, the admission of powerlessness, which is that by admitting that a person's powerless, they're saying that that's not who I am. I've fallen into a place of powerlessness because, you know, I have challenges. Maybe even if a person acknowledges that they have an illness called alcoholism or addiction, but powerless is not who I am. And therefore, I deserve to move towards a place other than this. And that's really what's going on the first night of Pesach, and then all the way through Achron Shel Pesach, the last days of Pesach, where we celebrate the Kriyas Yamsuf, where everything that we're doing within the Seder, as I just described, is all about sitting as a king, but eating lechem oni, right? Eating the matzah. The matzah itself, it kind of has this dual process of it being the poor man's bread on one hand, and it's also lachem de'menusa, it's the bread of faith, and it's also so matzah has this kind of dual meaning symbolism to it. It both symbolizes suffering and it also symbolizes redemption. We sit with the maror, we eat the maror, we eat the zecher by the Korach, we sit and eat the sandwich the way that Hillel did by the Beis HaMikdash, right? We drink, the Seder ends with not even drinking it, but pouring the cup of Eliyahu HaNavi. We open the door, Shvoch HaMoscha HaLagoyim. We invite God in. We open the door to demonstrate the fact that we're not scared, that we trust in faith that God is going to walk with us. The entirety of the process of the Seder is this identification that even though it's true, hacha hashta, here, right now, as we open the Seder with, in Halach Ma'anya, right now I'm here, right? But really, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, really, I'm moving towards Jerusalem. Really, I'm just on a path. I'm in a derech la'eretz Yisrael. I'm on my path towards the promised land, towards my own promised land, towards Geula, towards Mashiach. It looks like I'm an Eved Aparo, but really, I'm just not yet the Eved Hashem that I meant to be, because I really am an Eved, right? As we're going to say, this is the distinction between being a slave to Pharaoh versus being a servant of a higher power and a higher cause of Hashem, right? So, which is the context within Judaism, right? So that's the first part, is identifying the distortion, shattering the distortion. The next process, which is celebrated within over the next few months through the ritual of the mitzvos of Sfiras HaOmer, is the journey, as we described, of the Ovad. The Ovad is we'll get into that in a moment, but maybe just to remind everybody, the Ovad is the person who's on their path towards becoming who they are meant to be, right? And really, this is the process by which we're stretching ourselves closer and closer to our truest self, the weeks and days of Sfiras HaOmer, finally to try to become the Eved. So let's just review for a moment, before I get into that anymore, what the context is, at least spiritually, the difference between the Eved and the Ovad, right, which we've been talking about. So all of this is based upon a fundamental teaching of the Tanya, where he talks about the distinction between an Eved and an Ovad, based on a passage in Navi. It says, V'shafta v'risa ben tzadik l'rasha ben Ovad Elohim la'asher lo avdo, right? And you will return and you will see between a tzaddik and a rasha, and the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha will be revealed, those who are righteous, those who are wicked, and also between the Ovid, those who serve God, and those who don't serve God. And the fundamental question of the Baal HaTanya, just to review, is looks like the Navi is repeating himself, because the Ovad would be the tzaddik and the low Ovad would be the Rasha. So the Tanya answers and says, no, that's not the case. There's actually four types of people that the Navi is describing. The tzaddik is the person who's an Eved, right? He's already currently in a status of being a servant of God. He's already done the work and he's there. He's living as an Eved of Hashem. The Rasha is someone who's living as a servant to his baser impulses. He's an Eved of Paro. The Ovad is someone who's actively working to stretch themselves more and more and more. They are working towards being an Eved, but they are an Ovad, which is more of like an active. It's a descripting term that describes someone who's actively in a state of service. So the Ovad is someone who's trying to stretch himself more and more and more. The low Ovad is someone who's doing okay. He's not fallen into his his or her baser instincts. He's not serving Pharaoh, but he's resting, he or she is resting on their laurels, right? They're kind of just like, you know, they're riding on yesterday's victories, or maybe on the victories of others, right? So they're not working on themselves. So that's the difference, right? And part of the distinction there in the Baal HaTanya, I think it's important to point out, part of the distinction that is that he's making is that that ultimately in the ultimate days it'll be revealed, because sometimes it would look like the low ovad is a better or more refined person than the ovad, because the low ovad, the person who's not working, could be that he has good character traits, could be that he's naturally, or he's been raised properly. So on the outside it looks like he's the more elevated person. But part of what the Navi's revealing is that sometimes the person who's working hardest looks on the outside much uglier, because he or she is dealing with much more challenging issues. So what will ultimately be revealed, right, so to speak, is that God, which means that God sees who's working, right, to transcend their potential versus he who's resting on the laurels of the potential that they've already achieved. So the journey of the Ovad is one that we take during Sfiras HaOmer, stretching ourselves more and more. We're on the wagon, on the journey towards becoming our truest self. And what that leads to us is the final chapter, which is to become an Eved. The final layer of redemption is becoming an Eved Hashem, a true servant of God. And the question that kind of automatically comes to mind is like, is that really in the cards? Can we suppose to be a perfect servant of our higher power? An Ovad, a spiritual being dedicated, human being on a spiritual journey dedicated to progress, that we can for sure do. We can try and do our best. But to be an Eved, as the Baal HaTanya describes it, means to be a tzaddik, to be a merkava for the Eibishter, to be a chariot for God's will, an utterly surrendered expression of divine light. That simply doesn't seem to be in the cards for us. So how do we get there? What is, and part of the context here, and to kind of uncover and to re-explore what we're talking about here, we have to really re-explore and understand what Torah is. Because if the process and the journey of the Jewish people was to get out of Egypt and then to journey towards the promised land, never expecting to get there, progress, not perfection, so to speak, then the story of the Jewish people would be just Sfiras HaOmer. There wouldn't be a receiving of the Torah. The whole idea, now obviously the Jewish people, there was a golden calf, in some ways we're still on our journey towards the promised land, but there is a certain finality that occurs where the Jewish people travel from Mitzrayim through the desert to Har Sinai. They receive the Torah. They experience within the context of the narrative a certain amount of perfection, right? That comes about. They receive the two crowns of Nasa v'Nishma, and they're in a state of pre-original sin, before the sin of Adam. And if they hadn't sinned with the golden calf, Moshe would have, as Chazal have taught us, they would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael. There would have been miraculous victory over all the seven nations, and the Jewish people would have established the Beis HaMikdash, and that Beis HaMikdash never would have been able to be destroyed, and an ultimate redemption would have come to the world. The world would have transcended to that higher place of La'asid Lavo. That's what it would have occurred. That wasn't really in the cards. That wasn't the plan, but there is a certain aspect to that. So part of what we have to ask ourselves is, okay, so I understand the idea of shattering the distortion, getting out of my own personal Egypt, in scare quotes, right? To remove myself from that state of avdus taparov, to being a slave of a foreign power that constricts me and takes me away from who I'm truly meant to be. And I understand the process of Sfiras HaOmer, of weeks and days trying to stretch myself to be more and more myself, to be what God wants me to be. But what is this concept of Torah? In some ways, in spiritual recovery, part of this reflects like, okay, so I understand the process of that I have a problem and I need to get well, right? Which would be like steps 1, 2, and 3. And then I understand the process of cleaning up my side of the street, right? But where does this manifest? Like what happens after, so to speak, step 10 or end 11, right? What is this like spiritual life that I'm supposed to live? What happens post that? What happens after I've done the work? Or where am I supposed to be trying to reach towards? So what is this symbolism of Torah within this equation and how can we understand? So in order to kind of unpack all of that, I think we have to really re-explore what Torah is. What does receiving the Torah mean? Is it just a code of morals and a better philosophy for living? Or is it something more? Is it something much more than just the best code of morals and philosophy for living, which is sometimes how people prove the benefit of Torah? Like, oh, it's such a good system. It's the first system. It's the original system. It's the best system. It's the source of all the good systems. But that just equates Torah. It strips out the ultimate spiritual meaning of Torah. So the part of the question that we're going to ask is, how does Pnimius HaTorah, Chassidus, the inner light of Torah, the inner wisdom of Torah, how does it teach us to see what it is that we're supposed to be receiving when we receive the Torah, and which really begins on the first night of Pesach, but we'll get there in a second. So to begin, let's set aside this topic for a moment and start with a more fundamental question that maybe will, as we explore, will kind of open up the answer to what Torah is. So everyone knows, everyone who's kind of had an ongoing Jewish Torah-based education knows that the Avos HaKadoshim, our holy forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the holy mothers, fulfilled the mitzvos, whatever that means. They practiced the mitzvos. And when you hear that as a child, you think about that, and you're like, okay, that's fine. But then as you get older, you start to wonder, like, what does that mean? How could they fulfill the mitzvos? The mitzvos are taught to us in the Torah. They didn't have the Torah. How could they learn and fulfill mitzvos? Like, for example, Rashi brings down that when Yaakov was stripping the rods by the sheep of Lavan, maybe it's not Rashi, it doesn't matter, it's somewhere. I think it's Rashi, but maybe I'm wrong, right? But that when Yaakov was stripping the rods by the sheep of Lavan, that somehow was connected to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tefillin. Or even more explicitly, we see that, and this is definitely in Rashi, right? We see that Avraham is eating matzah on Pesach in the story where the three angels come, and then even Lavan himself also serves them matzah because it's Pesach time, right? Now, this is forget the tefillin thing, because maybe it's like some kind of supernatural, metaphysical, tapping into metaphysical spheres. The story of Pesach didn't happen. We know that, you mentioned earlier in the episode that we eat halach ma'anya. This is the lechem oni. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. In order for matzah to have symbolism, the Jewish people have to go through Egypt. Abraham is the forefather of the Jewish people. The Jewish people don't even exist, much less have they gone to Egypt to eat matzah. And yet we see Avraham Avinu eating matzah on Pesach. What's going on here? What does it mean? What's even happening? How did they do that? How did they tap into that? So what Pnimius explains, what the inner light of Torah explains, is that the Avos, because of their level of spiritual connectedness, which is a frame that Chazal described as Merkava, their attachment and connection and surrender to God was so powerful, so tapped in were they to his original and authentic intent in creation, that their very action, their every action, permeated the intention, the original intention of God's light. They were a clear vessel that expressed the original intention of creation. And in that process, they tapped in to the intention of their creator for reality, that they were so tapped into that space, to that intention of reality, that their very instincts reflected the same spiritual energy as a mitzvah. Right? So what that means is that matzah has a certain energy to it, especially at this time of year. Avraham Avinu knew to eat matzah on Pesach because to him, it was, so to speak, self-evident. It was spiritually self-evident. Now, the same energy which guided Abraham to eat matzah on Pesach manifested in actuality in the lived history of the Jewish people in Egypt in matzah. Meaning there are forces that kind of direct reality. Sometimes those forces exist at a manifest, actualized level, and sometimes they exist at a more kind of subtle level. Avraham Avinu, because of the way in which he was living, the level of self-sacrifice and surrender to God's light, intuited this kind of energy that, like, today is a matzah day. Today is a day that the bread shouldn't rise. I don't know why it's not. I don't know whatever it is, but this is a time of year, so to speak. There's something that's going to happen in this time that's going to be very, very deeply powerful. And I'm tapping into that energy. Now, that same energy, as it collided with the narrative of history, his story, right, manifested into Jews in Egypt actually eating matzah because they were in such a rush that they had to get their way out of Egypt. So you have both of these kind of collisions going on at the same time. So what Pnimius HaTorah teaches us in some ways, and anyway, I don't fully understand this, but I understand it at least enough to try to like articulate it to you, at least so that I should understand it better, right? So the Avos, because of their level of, because they existed at that place of Merkava, they were able to tap into that, and therefore they were able to tap into the energy of the essence of the mitzvah itself. Whereas when the Jewish people ate matzah in Egypt, they were actually living the actualized version of the mitzvah as it was destined to emerge within the chronology of history. Now, Pnimius teaches us that as a gift from God to the Avos HaKadoshim, to our holy forefathers, as a reflection for the way that they lived, their descendants, both physiological and spiritual, were given the privilege of receiving the Torah, which is essentially a delivery system. This is one way. We're going to describe Torah in two ways. They're interconnected, right? But they were given the privilege to receive the Torah, which in this one way of looking at it is a delivery system for revealing the power of mitzvos and the way in which they can be actualized in material form. Meaning, Avram was able to intuit that Pesach was a time to eat matzah. We have a Torah that teaches us to have what matzah is, and that it's the right thing to do to eat it. So therefore, we have the capacity to fulfill the mitzvah, so to speak, in the same way that Avram was fulfilling the mitzvah. Now, as we're going to describe soon, there's a difference between someone who's commanded by God through Torah to receive a mitzvah and someone fulfilling a mitzvah that's a reflection of some type of spiritual energy. And that gives a certain advantage to the Jewish people, so to speak, because we're mitzvah v'yosa. We were commanded to do it by God directly, as opposed to kind of tapping into some spiritual energy. But ultimately, the idea of Torah is this idea of like a concretized vessel through which that the actualized energy of spiritual energies of mitzvos could be transmitted to people so they could perform them in actuality. Now, in addition to all this, as an inheritance, Hashem bestowed the people of Torah, the Jewish people, a neshama, which is a spiritual layer of essence that enables one to be a lamp for the light of the divine. This is an essential description of what it means to be a Jew, a physical and or spiritual descendant of the forefathers with access to Torah, right, which is this description, so to speak, this manifestation of a guidebook for how to manifest, actualize mitzvos within the world. This is only one aspect. We're going to get to the other aspect of Torah. And in addition to receiving the Torah, a spiritual capacity to draw down and shine in divine light to the world. Now, anyone, all people, are encouraged to live as a reflection of God's will, but a Jewish person, a Yid, is given the privilege to be a lamp and to be a lamp lighter, just as our forefathers were to be a channel and merkava of the divine in the world, meaning because there's a difference between being a reflection of light and being the source of light itself, meaning becoming the person who's carrying the light, right? There's the way in which light can be reflected, which you can see from afar, right? And that reflects in somebody who's, let's say, living spiritually, right? They are a reflection of God's light. But then there's actually being the light. The way in which a person is the light is the way in which they are manifesting mitzvos into the world. Some mitzvos are just, you know, giving tzedakah. I might give tzedakah because I'm a nice person and therefore I want to live according to the will of a loving God and therefore I give it. That's good. But then I also can do it, give tzedakah as a reflection of a mitzvah of Hashem, which is an expression of Torah, which is literally the will of God. And now that very same quarter that I'm giving to a poor person goes from just being a reflection of the divine will to being a manifestation and actualization of the divine will itself in the world, a much more potent, intense spiritual light. So that reveals the first main aspect of Torah, that mitzvos, including studying Torah itself, because learning Torah itself is a mitzvah, are actions that we can take that reflect the innermost intention and desire for the creation of our reality, the why of existence. God was, right, the idea that God was utterly united with himself, and yet he decided that he wanted a universe of separation within which Shabbos candles could be lit, tzitzis or tefillin could be worn, a Torah could be studied, tzedakah could be given. And these actions, because they reflect God's innermost intention for the world, right? They're not just a reflection of God's will as it manifests, but rather they are it's more than a reflection of God's innermost intention. They are an actualization of God's innermost intention. They reflect a manner in which a free-willed human being can be a channel for the light of the original intention in order for it to come into this material reality. Not just to be a reflection of the original intention, but an actual expression of it. Just what God had wished for when he thought, so to speak, kaviyachol, to create the world. Just as the Avos, through their deepest inner spiritual work, were able to channel the essence of God's will into the world, so too all people who fulfill mitzvos can achieve that same miracle without having yet reached the level of the forefathers. By carrying out mitzvos, a Jew is manifesting the essence of God's infinity within the deeply limited and finite reality of our world, of our existence, which is quite a spiritual feat. You know, just as an extension, non-Jews, Gentiles, also have seven mitzvos, right? And if they're taught about the seven mitzvos and then fulfill the seven mitzvos because of that, they also, so to speak, have some capacity to manifest the same thing. However, the most potent, and any Gentile can decide to become a Jew, and when they do, they receive a neshama, and then they're capable of doing the same thing. So this is not a exclusive, but we're fortunate to be born into it or to have joined already, right? So that we're given this very, very powerful lightning rod to be able to be manifestations of the actualization of God's original intent in the world, to truly manifest that infinite reality within finite existence. Yet there's a much deeper level, actually, a deeper layer with Torah, meaning that's not all that Torah is. There's another aspect that Pnimius reveals with Torah that's even more powerful. Because as we said, there's two aspects of Torah. There's like studying Torah, there's learning Torah, and then there's also carrying out the mitzvos that the Torah teaches us. And learning Torah is one of the mitzvos. But the actualization of the beyond infinite divine light coming in to the most material layer of existence that comes about through Torah study is actually much deeper than what we described. Meaning, in a certain way, as we know, Torah study, there's two mitzvahs in particular that are described by Chazal as being extremely potent in two different ways. One is giving tzedakah, right? Because it's literally manifesting God's chesed into the world, which is a very, very potent part of who the essence of who God is, right? So to speak, kaviyachol. But then learning Torah, right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And what Pnimius explains to us, what the inner light of Torah reveals to us, is that the reason that Torah is such a learning Torah, studying Torah, receiving Torah is such a powerful and potent expression of this idea of actualizing infinite divine light, or beyond infinite divine light, right? Because God created infinities, right? So the essence of God, so to speak, kaviyachol, is beyond infinity. So manifesting beyond infinite light within finite reality, right? In Torah study is even more potent. And why, you might say, why is Torah study, why is studying the Torah itself so potent? And is because in addition to the fact that Torah study is one of the mitzvot, within the process of studying, one is actually contemplating and even in some ways grasping expressions of God's innermost intention and thought. Aside from channeling the light of that original intention into actualized material reality, an individual who is studying Torah is also creating a mind-to-mind link-up with the Creator, an even more acute and powerful channel of creative light and abundance channeled into our world. Whereas the Avos intuited God's will, a Jew who studies Torah is grasping in some way the Creator's thoughts, so to speak. So in addition to the fact that I'm channeling divine light and actualizing it into the world by studying the Torah, in studying the Torah, in contemplating what does God want through the context of Torah, I'm at the same time also creating this mind-to-mind link-up, which then utterly showers the world with this intense spiritual potency that's very, very powerful. Okay, so that's how the books of the inner wisdom of Torah reveal to us the what the idea of Torah is, right? By way of trying to understand how it is that the Avos study Torah, that kind of uncovers what Torah is. Torah is this, and therefore what receiving the Torah is by extension, which we'll get to in a moment, right? Is that Torah is this kind of potent tool through which we can manifest divine utter intention into reality for our good, Shefa, for our good, for the world's good, but even more importantly, as a chassid, someone who's mischassid in kone, someone who does kindness for his creator, because we love God and God wanted it to be this way. So by doing this, I'm, so to speak, giving the nachas to the Eibishter. I'm giving him a sense of pleasure and enjoyment, so to speak, that his original intention is manifest. So therefore, if we go back to our original question, how are we meant to actually achieve the third layer of redemption, being a true Eved, the Avoda of the Tzaddik, which corresponds to receiving the Torah, which seems like perfection when we seem so far from perfection? Meaning, how are we supposed to get beyond progress, not perfection, right? Meaning, if we're just stuck in progress, then it's nice. It's a nice idea, progress, not perfection. But then when do we start to live? What's the living part? And how does that correlate to our lived experience where, in practicality, it's a nice idea to say that, like, well, progress, not perfection. When am I going to get to perfection so that I can actually live? But I live in progress. So what am I supposed to do? So now that we have this teaching, we can now reframe the idea and understand it much better. Receiving the Torah at Sinai does not reflect the idea of a spiritual perfection which is beyond us, nor does it reflect the spiritual progress of preparing ourselves to be a servant of a higher power and cause, as that was stage two. That's progress, not perfection, trying to make ourselves as perfect a vessel as possible for God's divine light. And receiving the Torah is not becoming, so to speak, kaviyachol the avos, right? Trying to become that place of merkava where our every action is a reflection of the ultimate divine will. Rather, receiving the Torah reflects the way in which we, at whatever stage of development we are up to, can practice perfect principles and actions imperfectly. This is the main thrust of the point. The idea of receiving Torah is not about being perfect, but rather receiving access to perfection as I am right now. Receiving the Torah reflects the way in which we, at whatever stage of development we are up to, can practice perfect principles and actions, those that are reflections of the Creator's very original intention, imperfectly. At least limited to our imperfect capacity. You see, receiving the Torah does not mean or require that we are perfect, and not that we are imperfect, and that that's okay, but rather the freedom of redemption from slavery to one's Mitzrayim, to being an Eved, a servant, and channel, to go from being an Eved Paro, to being an Eved, a servant, and channel of God's light, is being ourselves unapologetically and practicing perfect principles as best we can. Because the principles are perfect, they utterly are united with the original intention of the Creator, our imperfection can't really sully them. Sure, the closer to ideal we become, the more ideal the revelation of those perfect principles can be as they flow through us. But a practice of perfect principles, the best we can, is a practice, a manifestation of perfect principles. You see, being an Eved Hashem, a true servant of a higher power of light and love, is not about being perfect. It's about actualizing perfect principles according to the ultimate divine will as best we can in any given moment. That's what it means to be an Eved. An Ovad means working towards being a more and more revealed version of ourselves, a clearer and clearer lens or pathway, channel through which divine light can come into the world. The clearer the lens, the more of an Eved, so to speak, we can, not the more is the Eved we can be, but the more that our inner Eved can be revealed. As we continue our personal development, practice being an Ovad, the clearer the channel becomes, the more obvious our inner Eved becomes, the more light comes through, the more the light that's coming through is not obstructed by ourself. This is the gift of Matan Torah, right? This is the gift of receiving the Torah, and it represents the freedom to which we are released when we are disencumbered from our distorted servitudes and dependencies. We become free to walk the journey towards our truest self, which opens the door to the freedom to be ourselves through the fulfillment of perfect spiritual principles and actions, Torah and mitzvos, imperfectly as best we can. So to review the entire series, the journey out of our enslaved state to our toxic and distorted dependencies, to those pharaohs that we feel and are trapped serving, begins by shattering the distortion of avdus to power outside of ourselves. This begins by admitting we have become enslaved, but a slave to this is not who we are and not the life we deserve. This first part corresponds to the first night of Seder, but culminates fully on the seventh day with the splitting of the sea, the destruction of the Egyptian army, and then as we read every day in Az Yashar, Vayaminu Bahashem Moshe Avdo, they believed in God and in Moshe, his servant, meaning the Jewish people began to get a vision of what sanity looked like. What's next is the journey of the Ovad, uncovering, discovering, and discarding the false notions, ideas, and attachments that have held us from being our truest self, a reflection of the ultimate divine intention and light. This corresponds to the journey to Sinai and to the counting of the days and the weeks of the Sfiras HaOmer, slowly and assuredly stretching ourselves more and more to be our truest self, a clear lens of the great reality that lives down deep within us, the essence of ourselves, the spark of actualized divinity that we inherited as the spiritual and biological children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The role of Sfiras HaOmer is to reveal the neshama, to reveal who we truly are. Finally, we make the decision to practice perfect principles in action and deed as they are expressed in our spiritual heritage. We don't wait to be fully and utterly free of all traces of distortion. We take the actions that we can, the best we can today. This is the essential spiritual message of Naseh V'Nishma that the Jewish people said to God when God came down to Moshe and said, do you want to receive the Torah? He offered it also to the other children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, or Avraham and Yitzchak, to Esav and Yishmael, and they rejected it, Chazal teach us. And when Moshe came and offered the Jewish people the Torah, they said, Naseh V'Nishma, we will act, and then we will study to better understand, but first we will act according to the will and intention of our Creator. Then what happens is really powerfully profound. A spiritual awakening occurs, because at least in those moments when we're acting in according to those perfect spiritual principles, but also more broadly and more over time, we become an Eved. We start to manifest Avdus, to be servants, a true servant of the Creator, of our higher power, of the great reality that sits down at the essence of our being, a true manifestation of ourselves, a servant to the power that lies at the core of everything, to God himself. No longer are we a distorted slave to a foreign power that's outside of ourselves. This corresponds to receiving the Torah on Shavuos, the moment when Hashem bestowed the gift of the Torah to the Jewish people and the gift of a neshama, the heritage of Torah and mitzvos. For those practicing spiritual recovery, this process that we just described, though somewhat more teased out and reflecting the light of the inner world of Torah, these ideas are quite intuitive and comfortable. Admitting powerlessness and unmanageability, a developed belief that hope is possible, that restoration to the sanity of being our truest self is real, followed by a decision to act and listen in opposition to the distortion by stripping away the layers, the false layers of self, the old ideas that keep us away from the great reality that lies at the essence of our essence, to be who he would have us be, namely our truest self, and then living out perfect principles day by day, week by week, imperfectly the best we can, are quite comfortable. This is like literally a potent description of what you're trying to do in spiritual recovery work. That's really most of what's trying to be done within the context of recovering from whatever it is that we're struggling with. Now, with the light of Torah, this process is catapulted to an entirely impossible and unfathomable level of spiritual acuity, a revelation of pure and true perfection, actualized and manifested in ritual and ideas, which forge a connection between the essence of existence, the very why of existence, with each one of us, manifesting true light and love into material reality, the truest and most essential expression of God's deepest desire to have a dira betachtonim. And all of this begins with the Seder night, when we sit as kings, we lean to the left, because the end is nested in the beginning, right? That's essentially sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. So this is really, and why I thought it was appropriate to do this redemption series leading up to Pesach, because I, even throughout the process, I kept on like questioning myself, like, we're talking about redemption, but then we're talking about Shavuos. But really, this idea of looking at the lens of Yetzias Mitzrayim into Sefiras HaOmer, into Shavuos, and the spiritual messaging there, is most potently powerful in terms of our mindset as we begin to approach the night of the Seder and Pesach and the rituals of Pesach to realize what it is that we're doing. We are preparing ourselves for a new way of living, for a new way of being. We're preparing ourselves for the journey to Eretz Yisrael, and then to reveal that once a person is on the journey to Eretz Yisrael, they're already in Eretz Yisrael. As Rabbi Nachum reveals in the 58th teaching of Likutei Maharan Tinyana, where he talks about this idea of Derech Eretz, it's actually the same Torah where Rabbi Nachman talks about his famous idea of Ein Yesh Ba'olam Klal. There's no hopelessness in the world, which is easy to see how this is connected inherently. This idea that when a person embraces the journey to the redemption, to the promised land, whatever that means for them, to Eretz Yisrael, then as soon as they realize that, they're already in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael has access to them. So once I've shattered the distortion that I'm not an Eved of Paro, in some ways, I've already touched on the truest essence of my being. I'm already a king, and I'm already living by fulfilling the practical mitzvos of the Seder. I'm already manifesting essential divine light, practicing perfect principles in this moment right now as perfectly as I can, even though I'm quite imperfect or perfectly imperfect as I am. So that's the main message of redemption is take a deep breath, sit down at the Seder, lean a little bit, say a bracha, fulfill a mitzvah, read the Haggadah, don't make it overly complicated. Don't try to squeeze every ounce of it out of you so you can be something more, but rather realize that you're exactly who you are meant to be in this moment, and then what God asks of you is to be more yourself in this moment by leaning in and manifesting his essence, actualizing his essence into this world right now in this moment in an entirely unfathomable way. Light that is beyond infinite, manifesting into finite reality wherever you find yourself right now. And that is exactly as intended. That's exactly what we had in mind when we decided to create the universe itself. You have given God the only gift he ever wanted. You. Al Kasher V'Sameach. Happy Pesach.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed. social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipporah Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.